All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
The crack of Diana's palm against my cheek echoes through the stunned room, my head snapping sideways as gasps ripple through the audience. In that moment, as my mother's venomous words pierce deeper than the sting on my skin, I realize with crystal clarity that her love has always been about control, and for the first time in my life, I'm about to shatter her illusion of power forever. Hi, I'm Celine. Before I continue, please like and subscribe. I stood in front of my mirror, smoothing down the crisp blazer I'd bought with my first real paycheck. At 25, I'd finally landed a marketing position that made me feel like all those sleepless college nights had been worth it. My reflection looked confident, but the knot in my stomach said otherwise. My phone buzzed for the third time in 10 minutes. Mom, again. Celine, did you press your outfit like I told you? You can't look wrinkled at the ceremony, Diana said, her voice sharp enough to cut glass. Yes, Mom. Everything's ready, I replied, the familiar weariness settling in. You didn't use that cheap iron, did you? I told you to bring your clothes to my house. I closed my eyes, counting to three. My iron works fine. I'm a grown woman. I can iron my own clothes. Don't take that tone with me. I'm just trying to help you look presentable. God knows you need it. The call ended before I could respond. Typical. I tossed my phone onto the bed, my momentary pride evaporating. A knock at my door revealed Jake with coffee and that smile that always calmed my nerves. Rough morning? He asked. Diana called, again. Jake had witnessed enough of my mother's helping to understand. Most mothers would just say congratulations when their daughter gets employee of the quarter, he said, sitting beside me. Most mothers aren't Diana, I replied with a half smile. My phone buzzed again. This time it was Rachel. Please tell me you're still coming to dinner after your ceremony. I've got wine and a whole evening of non-Diana conversation planned, Rachel said cheerfully. Wouldn't miss it. I'll need it after spending an evening with Mom watching my every move, I said. She's still coming, even after what happened at your graduation? Rachel asked. I sighed. She's my mother. What am I supposed to do? Set boundaries like Martha keeps telling you to, Rachel suggested. Martha, my mentor at work, had been trying to coach me through establishing healthier relationships. She'd seen firsthand how Diana's surprise office visits left me rattled for hours. One step at a time. Today, I just need to get through this ceremony without a disaster, I said. Uncle Mark called as I was heading out the door. Just wanted to wish you good luck today, kiddo, he said warmly. I'm proud of you. Thanks, Uncle Mark. Are you coming tonight? I asked, hoping for at least one ally. Wouldn't miss it. Someone needs to keep Diana in check, he replied with a chuckle that didn't quite mask his seriousness. Uncle Mark was the only one who ever stood up to my mother. As her older brother, he seemed immune to her manipulation tactics. He'd been my silent supporter since childhood, slipping me encouragement when Diana was too busy pointing out my flaws. As I drove to work, I tried to center myself. This recognition meant something. I had earned it through my own hard work, my own talent. For once, I wanted to feel proud without hearing Diana's voice in my head, listing all the ways I could have done better. Tonight was about my achievement. Just once, I wanted to stand in the spotlight without Diana's shadow looming over me. The office was buzzing with activity when I arrived. Colorful decorations hung from the ceiling, and a small stage had been set up in the conference room for the evening ceremony. There she is! Our star employee, Martha beamed from her office doorway. How are you feeling about tonight? Nervous, I admitted, and not just about the speech. Martha's expression softened. Your mother confirmed she's coming? Along with a detailed critique of my outfit, hairstyle, and probably my breathing technique, I said. My phone buzzed. Diana again. I've written some talking points for your speech. The ones you showed me were bland. Another message followed immediately. Also, I'm bringing you a proper outfit. That blazer looks cheap on camera. Rachel stopped by with lunch, a welcome distraction. Let me guess, Diana's helping again? She asked, watching my expression. She's rewriting my speech and bringing me a different outfit, I muttered, showing her the messages. Celine, you have to stand up to her sometime, Rachel said gently. I know, it's just easier to go along with it sometimes. Rachel squeezed my shoulder. Easier now, maybe. But what about next time? And the time after that? She had a point. Diana's control had only grown more suffocating over time. Last month, she'd shown up at my apartment unannounced, let herself in with the emergency key, and rearranged my furniture because the energy was all wrong. When I complained, she accused me of being ungrateful. True to her word, Diana arrived at my office door clutching a garment bag and a folder. You haven't changed yet? The ceremony starts in an hour, she said by way of greeting. Inside the garment bag was a conservative navy blue dress with a matching jacket, something a woman twice my age might wear. Mom, I'm wearing what I brought. My blazer is fine, I said firmly. Diana's eyes narrowed. After all the trouble I went to, this is how you thank me? She thrust the folder at me. At least use these talking points. I rewrote your speech. It has more impact now. I flipped through the pages. She'd completely changed my speech, adding a lengthy section about how her parenting had shaped my work ethic and career. Mom, I can't use this. This isn't what I want to say, I said. You never could write well under pressure. I'm just helping you sound more professional, Diana replied dismissively. Now I need to find good seats. The lighting in that conference room is terrible for photos. Jake arrived early and found me staring at Diana's rewritten speech. You're not going to use this, right? He asked after skimming it. I shook my head. No, I'm sticking with my original. Good. This is your moment, Celine, Jake said, hugging me. The conference room filled with colleagues and guests. Diana sat front row center, phone ready to record. Uncle Mark sat beside her, giving me an encouraging smile. Remember when she tried to make you drop out of that marketing internship because she thought finance was better? Uncle Mark whispered to me before I took the stage. Stick to your guns tonight, too. My heart pounded as Martha took the stage. It's my great pleasure to present our Employee of the Quarter Award to someone whose creativity and dedication have transformed our marketing strategy, Martha announced. Please welcome to the stage, Celine. The applause carried me forward as I climbed the steps to the podium, my original speech clutched in my trembling hands. The spotlights felt hot as I adjusted the microphone. Diana sat front row center, recording every moment. Thank you, Martha, and everyone at the company for this recognition, I began, using my original notes, not Diana's rewrite. I want to thank the marketing team for their collaboration, Martha for her mentorship, and Jake for listening to me practice this speech countless times. Laughter rippled through the audience as I continued. This achievement represents something I've been working toward since college. Thank you again for this honor. Applause filled the room as Martha handed me the award. I turned to step down when Diana's voice cut through the clapping. Celine, aren't you forgetting someone? The room quieted. I froze. You didn't thank me, Diana said, standing now, after everything I've done for you. She marched to the stage, her heels clicking against the floor. I drove you to college tours. I paid for your apartment. I bought you professional clothes, and you can't even acknowledge me? Mom, please, I whispered. Not here. This is my achievement, I said. My work, my recognition. Her eyes widened. Your achievement? Who do you think made you who you are? Diana, that's enough, Uncle Mark called, but he was too late. The crack of Diana's palm against my cheek echoed through the stunned room. Gasps rippled through the audience. How dare you, Diana said. After everything I've done, this is the thanks I get. Martha stepped between us. I think you should leave, she told Diana, her voice ice cold. Jake appeared at my side. Are you okay? I wasn't. Uncle Mark took Diana's arm. We're going, now. Diana looked back at me. This isn't over. You'll call me later and apologize. In that moment, I knew she actually believed I would. That after publicly humiliating me, I would still seek her forgiveness. It was the same pattern we'd always followed. Diana hurting me apologizing to Diana. Not this time. Rachel appeared. My offer of wine and my couch stands. I need to get out of here, I whispered. While Diana was being escorted out, I gathered my things from my office. Martha found me. Take tomorrow off. Take the week if you need it, she said. Thank you for everything, I replied. Rachel was waiting by my car. I'll follow you to your apartment so you can pack. As I drove, my cheeks stinging, I kept seeing Diana's face, not the anger when she slapped me, but the certainty that I would eventually apologize to her. It was time to break that cycle. I pulled up to my apartment with strange clarity. I wasn't just packing for a night at Rachel's, I was leaving, for good. Rachel helped me pack that night. Everything Diana had ever given me, I left behind. I ignored Diana's calls and messages. I worked remotely from Rachel's apartment while apartment hunting. She's furious, Uncle Mark told me. Says you're being ungrateful and dramatic. I'm not coming back this time, I said firmly. Diana showed up at Rachel's building and then at Jake's place. Each time, I refused to see her. With each boundary I set, I felt stronger. I changed my phone number, found a secure apartment, and told my workplace not to share information about me. 2 weeks later, Uncle Mark shared news over coffee. She's telling everyone you had a breakdown, he said, but no one believes her anymore. Diana had shown her true colors to everyone. She'd ranted at family gatherings and alienated relatives who suggested she might be overreacting. My revenge wasn't elaborate. It was simply my absence, the one thing Diana couldn't control. A month later, Martha offered me an opportunity. The marketing director position at our West Coast office is opening up. I recommended you for it. 3,000 miles between me and Diana sounded perfect. I accepted immediately. The day before my move, Uncle Mark helped me pack. Diana wants to talk, he said. She's calmer now. What do you think? I asked. I think she regrets losing control of you, not hurting you, he replied. Without access to my life, Diana's social standing collapsed. She'd been dropped from her charity board, and her friends were tired of her complaints. On moving day, Diana's car appeared across the street. She watched without approaching. Do you want me to talk to her? Rachel asked. No, she's made her choices. I've made mine. As I drove away, I realized the greatest punishment for someone like Diana wasn't revenge. It was losing her audience, her control, her power. 3 months later, I received a formal apology letter from Diana. I read it twice, then filed it away without response. Maybe someday we could have a relationship based on mutual respect. But that day wasn't today. My revenge was living well without her. My success was no longer her success. My life was no longer her life to control. And that was the most complete victory of all.